You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8pm here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I hope you're all doing good and having a great week so far. We're at the hump of the week on Wednesday, and I'm delighted to have you all listening in and tuning in tonight. And if you're listening back on the podcast, a big hello to you too. I hope you all had a great weekend just gone. I was up at the NFL in Dublin, and it was mad seeing an American sport, especially the NFL, coming into Dublin and to Croke Park. I suppose specifically it was a very unusual setting, but it was a great day out, and I was delighted to get to go to it. And so I hope you all had a great weekend, whatever you got up to. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Standout with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Killarney woman Sarah Leahy. Sarah is an Irish sprinter, and she has represented Ireland at the World Athletic Championships, and she has also won Irish national indoor titles over 60 metres. Sarah was part of the Irish women's 4x100 metre relay team, who broke the Irish national record. Sit back and enjoy the show. Sarah, come here. Thanks a million for joining me today. I'm delighted to have you on the show for a chat about your own story and all things athletics and everything. You're working away. We were saying, how's life with you?
Yeah, life is good. Busy, the usual. In the office 9 to 5, and then training in the evenings. So yeah, life is good. Thank you.
You're up in Dublin at the moment, you were saying, aren't you?
Yeah, moved to Dublin 3 years ago full time for work and for elite training group up here for running. Yeah, with Daniel Kilgallen and them. So
very good. I suppose I'll ask you first. The World Championships are just gone now, and the para ones are on now. You're probably watching them, are you?
Oh yeah, they'll be on the. On the screen when I'm working away the whole time. Even yesterday, the Paralympics is on at the moment in New Delhi, and my training partner who joined the group last September, Orla Cumberford, just got the double gold, so double world champion. So it's amazing to watch her, and it's an honour to be training alongside these unbelievable athletes that are performing at that, like, the highest level they can perform at. So yeah, it's between this week with the Paralympics, and we've got a few goals already, and then last 2 weeks with the world champs in Tokyo. It was just it's insane. It's nonstop. It's all good. It's so much inspiration happening. So yeah.
Oh yeah, Roisin done very well at with the swimming, didn't she?
Yeah, it's like there's the swimming, the running, the rowing. It's all full on. Like Ireland is doing amazing at the moment.
Like you said, Orla herself yesterday, it was Sunday, and yesterday it was the 100 and 200 metre.
Yeah, so she got the gold in both.
She's doing very, very well. So she is. I was in the gym myself yesterday, and I kind of, just as I was coming out, I had it on my phone on YouTube. So we got the chance to watch it. I like to ask all my guests at the start here, I suppose, just a little bit about themselves growing up. Obviously, you were sports mad. I know you played a bit of football, and athletics kind of came on. Do you want to, I suppose, it's your childhood. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I come from a very sporting family, mainly in GAA. My dad and his granddad big into the hurling and the football, from Clare and Cork. Cork for the football, Clare for the hurling. And then my mom, Killarney Brosnan, mad into the football. Half the family's Legion, which is my personal club. And then the other half of the family's Dr. Crokes. So a lot of football growing up. Myself, I was part of probably the Kerry team from about under 14 to senior level. And I did a bit of running as well when I was younger. And I loved both. I learned a lot from both. And my parents obviously were very supportive in everything I did, and I did a bit of basketball and stuff growing up, so a lot of sporting growing up, but the main two were football and athletics. And underage, I did think, I was like, I was going to grow up, go to the Olympics, be all into the running. But as you know yourself, football is a big team sport, huge commitment, so I definitely kind of landed more into the football growing up. And it was only in about 2020, when COVID hit, I kind of made that decision to go back to running. And I can't say I made that decision on my own. My new boyfriend at the time, but he's my long-term boyfriend now, Daniel, He heard the way I was talking about football and running, and he's just like, he kind of heard that I wasn't fully enjoying football anymore. As much as I love the sport and I loved my teams, clearly Legion are so supportive of me, and I went back and played a few games since. And with the Kerry and all, as you know yourself, coming from the kingdom, it was such a huge honour to be on that county team. So it was a big decision to me to if I was going to leave football or not. And my boyfriend was just like, no, you sound so passionate about athletics, and he didn't know if I was any good at all. And he convinced me to go back, and obviously telling mom and dad, I was a bit nervous. I was like, Joe, with the football and all, but they were so supportive. They backed me in everything I do, and they were like, no, this is the right decision for you. We're going to back you, and by God, they've been there every step of the way since. I suppose jumping ahead a little bit for 2022, I went to the World Champs with athletics. My parents went all the way over to USA to support me. 2023, it was European Team Champs in Poland. My parents were there. 2025, European Team Champs in Slovenia. My parents were there. And national, they're at every nationals. And even my mom in 2023, I think, I had a race in Czech Republic. It was just to kind of run a good time, do a race over there. She actually went over with me as well. So she was like my mom, my coach on the day. And growing up, my parents were just everything to me and my brother. They were just so supportive. And obviously, as I said, a big sporting family. So there's always sports along the way. And I suppose not to leave out, there was one big sporting memory, which would be community games back. And I think I was under 15, so I don't know what year that was. I don't know, in the early 2010s anyway. We had a mixed relay that was in Athlone. And it was Clonmany South was our team. And it was me, Christian Cooper, David Shaw, and Keane Gamill. We were all on this 4x100 team together. And we actually came second on the day, but it was like basically tied first. So they couldn't decide who came first. Was it us or Kildare? And there was this huge thing. And for years since, my dad said that was the best run he's ever seen me do. No matter if I was at the World Champs in 2022 on the relay compared to this under 15s mixed relay in Athlone Community Games, he thought it was the best run ever. And it was just, that's a big memory of mine. And you just can't not love the sport when you have these memories and these experiences. So that was my sporting growing up.
Absolutely, and like coming from Kerry, and then as like your said, your dad and your mom, they were massive football and hurling, and it's part of who you are. And I think it's only when you're like myself and yourself our age, you kind of look back and you're like, they played such a role, like collecting me, dropping me to training here, traveling like you said all around the I suppose the world over to watch you race like that, and your boyfriend, it's only when you look back you realize how important and pivotal they are, I suppose, to bring you to where you are today, don't they?
Oh, 100%. Like, as much as people think athletics is a lonely sport, yeah, you're out there running on your own, but it takes so much people in the background. Even the support alone from your family, your friends, your partners, to your coaches, to your training partners, it's absolutely massive. Like, and it's to all these people that make success a reality.
Absolutely, 100%. And like you said, they're the community games. They're obviously a big thing around the country. And in Kerry, I know I done a bit of running myself. I'd say I only ran about one race. It was kind of to get out of school one day, and they're so important as well. Did you enjoy the I suppose the academic side of school when you were so heavily involved in sports as well?
Yeah, I think so. I did it. I was lucky. I did enjoy school, primary school, secondary school. I really enjoyed them. Meeting friends every day, and then I academically, yeah, you go do your work class, you go home, you study. And I think I was very fortunate that as like I didn't miss any school days, but I was out playing football a lot or out running a lot. So technically, I wasn't in school every day, but yeah, it was a really good mix and it was great. I was very lucky to have both. And then academically, yeah, I mean, you're in school to learn, you and then you have my outlet with sports. Other people, it's music or drawing or different hobbies. So I was fortunate that there was a good mix for me, good balance.
Perfect. You went to UL then, did you, Sarah?
Yeah, so I went to UL right after school. I don't know, was that 2019 or 18? Me and dates don't go along well. But I went to UL, and in my first year, I actually played football. I did do the running. And then I think COVID hit in second year. So for There, for second and third year of college, there was no kind of sports for me. There was no football or running. But in that third year, I decided I want to go back to running. So I actually used to go down to the track on my own, and I trained all year by myself. Thanks to coaches at home, Clanley Valley, they gave me some trainings to do. Which I suppose here's a good place just to do a quick shout out to all my Clanley Valley coaches through the years. Jean Courtney was always there. She was like a second mother to me, and like she was my first coach, and she got me so far. Breed Stack is a mighty woman. She used to do the training with us, and she'd leave me in the dust. Joe McCarthy was another guy, and then Mike Godley and Tralee always had faith in me. And then coming into the later years with Clanley Valley. Once it was Clanley Valley, you see, after Spalmacus, there was Tomás Griffin and Ger Griffin, and they were the ones that gave me the training sessions to do on my own in UL. So I used to train on my own on the track, and then when I'd be down the Clanley, I'd train in the Domain. And this was in about 2020, and it was in my final year of college in 2021, 2022 is when I joined the UL group with Drew and Hayley Harrison. And I think I just really excelled from that moment on. The group was, it was so fun. Everybody was such great friends. It was obviously a college setting. Yeah, and that was kind of the start of my, I suppose, little comeback to athletics. And I couldn't have asked for a better year, like.
Would I be right in saying Tomás Griffin? Is he Jordan Lee's coach?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember right, Jordan and say he was my second guest on here when I started the show, and I remember Tomás, he mentioning the name as well.
Yeah,
I suppose
he's a great coach down there.
oh yeah, 100%. And Maddie as well, Jordan's girlfriend, she's after joining, is she?
Yeah. She's down there as well. So she was a long jumper, and I think she might be doing a bit of running at the moment instead. But yeah, they're both down there, both excelling in what they're doing.
Great to see, though, maybe people with disabilities like Jordan, being so involved, and obviously he's changing now into the shot put, I think he's going at, but it's great to, I suppose, see them kind of coming into different groups and training as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, athletics is literally, you'll find like there's the throwing, there's jumping, there's running, and it doesn't matter if you're like if you have a disability or not, there will you'll find something you can work on it. You'll excel at it, and it really just is a really inclusive sport. As I said, there's just so many different things you can do and try out. And as you said, like I train with Orla Comerford now in Dublin, who's a para athlete, and there's just nothing they can't do. You know, you might have to change things around a little bit, but they can do it just as well as you can. And then I mean, they both went to the Paralympics, Jordan and Orla. So like their standard is unbelievable. And it's just great for other people to have these inspirations to look up to.
I was reading you won silver in the Irish under 14 championships when you came second. Was it Molly Scott? Was she in that race as well?
When is this? Sorry.
The under 14, it was the indoor.
Oh yes. Yeah, Maher felt all the way in Donegal, I think, or Derry. Yeah.
And
I
if
think
you
Molly
remember
Scott won
that.
that race. Yeah. I was up there for the shot put as well. I think I came top eight
Go
in under
away.
14. Yeah.
Did you,
So
I suppose, going from football is such a physical sport, going to athletics then, like you said, it's more of an individual sport. Did you take anything from football into athletics?
100%. I think the big thing about football, as you said yourself, it's a team sport, and that is, I think, vital when it comes to athletics. Some people might not have had that experience, and especially coming from or going into relays. Obviously, I'm very fortunate to be on the 4x100 meter Irish senior women's relay. I've been on it since under 23s in 2021, and I just think it really has that team aspect, and you want everyone to do well, and you work well as a team. You listen, you adapt to, like, if you're running into someone, what are they doing, and do you know that way. So I think that is massive, and I got that purely from football. I thought the only downside is from that team aspect. Sometimes I find it difficult to switch on the competitiveness and want to beat my friends,
Yeah.
because I'm friendly with so many of my competitors. But really, that's not a negative. That's just, having to try to be a bit more competitive sometimes. But football, I think, really helps massively, and it's you learn so much. Even as in football, you're not going to win every match, and the same with running. You learn how to win, you learn how to lose, and to lose with grace, and to be like, they beat me on the day, they were better, And even with football, okay, if you played your best but you still lost, it's kind of with the relay, like if something just goes wrong, it's like we win as a team, you lose as a team. There's no individuality there, and you obviously all want to do your best, and that's why you're there. And I think football and athletics both bring huge learning kind of experiences and life lessons.
And like I said at the start, Sarah, you're working, then training in the evenings. How important was the move up to Dublin, I suppose, when you started to focus solely on athletics and kind of go away from football? You moved up to Dublin. That was obviously a massive, massive, I suppose, decision in your career to kind of excel in athletics.
Yeah, the move came straight after I finished college. So I moved right up, got a job. I was very fortunate to join Daniel Kilgallen's group. It's called Speed Educational Training, and he's just an absolutely amazing coach. The caliber of athletes he's trained is unbelievable. He trained Rashida Adeleke before she moved to Texas. Israel Olatunde, the fastest man in Ireland, was there. He only moved to Florida a year ago. Orla Comerford, double gold world champ since yesterday. And then many other athletes that were national winners or represented Ireland and stuff. So to join that group, once he accepted it, I was like, okay, I have to go. I got a job up here, and I moved in with my boyfriend. That was predominantly why I wanted to come up here. And obviously Daniel's training group, they're both called Daniel, so for the two Daniels.
Daniel 1 and
And
Daniel 2.
exactly, yeah. Boyfriend Daniel, coach Daniel. And yeah, and then obviously with the job, the first year, I suppose, was a bit tough. There was obviously I do enjoy routine, so the Monday to Friday, the 8 to 8 to 5, I do enjoy the getting up and doing what I have to do. But at the start, it was a bit tough. I was very tired because you have to get up early, go to work, and then sometimes you might not have time to go home, so then you have to go straight to training, and then you might be out of the house for 12 hours, and that's 5 days in a row. But I learned to balance it. I'm still learning how to balance it, and it's something if other people are looking to do, I would recommend. But it will take time to learn what suits you, and to kind of get your best out of your professional career as a the academic side and also the career side of athletics and stuff. So yeah, it's still a balancing act, but it's going well. I'm learning a lot every year.
You must be learning every year, I suppose, because it's still like fresh enough, it's only a couple of years. You said Daniel there, Rashida Adeleke, before she moved to Texas, would you have been training with her or would she have been gone?
No, she was gone by then. I can't remember what year she left, but no, I think I joined maybe a year or two later. So unfortunately, I never got to train with her, but I still got to train with a plethora of other elite athletes that you just learn so much from. And then by training along with these people that are better than you, you learn so much, and it brings you on as well. So
Do you
it's
find
very
it
good.
hard balancing the, I suppose you could be after a long day of work and then you say, all right, I'm just going to training, and obviously that'll be another big session on top of work.
Yeah, no, I think obviously you have to love it. It is very difficult, especially in the winter when the evenings are short or like it's dark outside. The winter training is the hard training, and it is very tough. But if you love it and you have a goal and you're motivated, it's what you want to do. So yeah, it's not hard to get out there and do it, but I suppose sometimes on the body it is a bit hard to kind of balance them both and do everything to the best of your ability.
You were saying about the I suppose the toll on the body recovery then after training. Do you obviously that's a big part now, is it?
Yeah, so you want to rest as much as possible. Definitely fueling is a huge thing, and I'm still learning that as each year goes by, that like if you train a lot in winter, you do probably need to fuel more because you're burning off more calories. And then in summer, you're going to run like more intense but less temp, like less distance. So it is different recoveries depending on the time of the season, but in general, I think life is okay. I go to work, I go training, and then the rest of the time is recovery. So there's not much like going out or anything, but that's not what I want to do. I want to do my best in these two priorities of my life, which would be work and definitely athletics.
Absolutely. Was it in 2023? Would I be right in saying the indoor, the Irish 60 meters? You won. Obviously, that's a massive thing as well now for you. And it's only 2 or 3 years ago. What was What was that like? Because that was obviously a massive part, I suppose, in your career to date.
Yeah, no, 2023 was the first time I won the 60 meter nationals, and it was, I don't think anybody expected it. I was definitely the underdog. I won it in a big PB, which I think at the time put me fourth on the all-time list for Ireland. And yeah, it was unbelievable. It was kind of hard to, I suppose, describe it now because it was so unexpecting. But 2024, I got the silver, and then I actually won it for the second time this year in 2025. And this year was really, that was the aim, and I was a lot more ready for it. And yeah, honestly, I actually kind of struggled to find the words, I guess, because it was what you aimed for, and I hope to kind of keep that going again. And I'd love to retain the title for the third time, you know, because 60 meter is kind of my specialty at the moment. I hope in the future I don't say that, and I can say 60 and the 100, but for the moment, 60 is definitely slightly higher on my professionalism than the 100. But
How
yeah,
did it
it's
change your
unbelievable.
confidence, I suppose, when you won it for the first time?
Oh, it was huge. I went into that outdoor season really confident, excited, and I suppose through the years you do learn that there are two completely different events. It's the 60 meter and the 100 meter, but every year I'm learning more. And if I can run that fast in 60 meters, if I just improve my speed endurance, I will run really fast over 100 as well. So yeah, the confidence. And then this year as well, 2025, it was massive. And I brought that into outdoors, and I really brought into the relay and everything. And it kind of reminds me, like, no, I do belong here. I belong at this level, because it is hard to kind of think that sometimes, especially I was never too an overly confident athlete. But to kind of think back on my achievements, I need to kind of remind myself, like, no, I do belong here. And my parents are very good at reminding me that as well. They're like, you, this is the athlete. You belong here with amongst the best of the best. And it's crazy to think sometimes, but yeah.
Must be. And after coming second and retaining it then this year, did you, after coming second, did you just kind of go back to the drawing board, talk to Daniel, you kind of go in, I suppose, you kind of, like I said, go back to the drawing board? And was
Yeah.
that definitely the big aim then to retain it this year?
Yeah, I think what I learned from coming second in 2024 was I kind of lacked that confidence that I needed going into the final. And as little as we think that matters, it's huge. The mentality, I think, is what win makes people successful and win, because we all train hard, we all have the capability. But then it does all come down to the race in that moment. To where's your head at? How is your start go? Are you going to tighten up in the middle of the race because somebody's on your shoulder? It's so much of it is literally mental. And what I learned for 2025 is I need to learn how to control that and definitely build this confidence, work on it. I spoke to a sports psych once or twice this year, which I was recommended to, and it's literally just to work on that confidence. And in a race scenario, if I have a fear that somebody's going to pass me out, I need to fix my brain and be like, no, that's not going to the, like, I'm not threatened right now. I should be the predator, and I need to go. And like, this is my race to win. Do you know, it's not my race to lose. So it's those things are big learning curves, and I'm going to have to keep working on them as well, especially for next year. I'd love to, as I said, win it for the third time, but it comes down to physicality and your mental, you know, on the day.
Training your mind is just as important as, I suppose, your body and psychology in general, but psychology then in sports, that's getting more, I suppose, popular and advanced. You probably see it yourself over the last, what, 3 or 4 years, that it is getting more advanced in sports. How important is it for an athlete, maybe not even just athletics, maybe swimming or maybe any sport, how important is the mental side of things, training your mind?
Yeah, no, it's massive, and as I said, I'm only kind of learning it now because I was kind of got a victim by it in that race 2 years, was it a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, that I was like, okay, something needs to change here, because I knew I could have won it, but I just didn't on the day. And that was literally all due to my mentality and the low confidence. And it comes into everything as well, like football or something. If you're that last free kick to win the game or something, that's a massive amount of pressure that you need to kind of deal with in the moment, be prepared for. And if you miss it, okay, it's not the end of the world, but like, do you know what I mean? It's that mental strength that we definitely all need to work on in every sport, or even exams or anything. You have the hard work done. You need to tell yourself it's all good. Not all you can do is go out there and do your best. And you need to believe that.
Are you hard on yourself when you do maybe not win a race?
Of course, I'm kind of like you know, it was if I know it was there to be won or there
Yeah.
to if I know I can run fast and I'm just not doing it, it's because I'm not doing something correctly, you know? Like if especially in the 100 meters, I know I can run fast, but if I don't swing my arms well enough, then I'm not gonna run fast. But the only person that can do that is myself. You know, I have the hard training done, it's literally doing what I'm supposed to in the moment, which sounds very easy, but that's what we train for. It's a
It's
little bit harder than it
only a
sounds.
race thing. London, you broke the you were part of the 4x100 relay. What was I suppose that like, 'cause that was in London, wasn't it?
Yeah, the London Diamond League in the London Olympic Stadium. It was unbelievable. The even just like before going onto the track, walking out, and the crowd was, oh my God, it was just massive, and the nerves kind of just hit. And the other girls that are more experienced, especially Sarah Lavin, was there. She's like, Sarah, like, are you okay? Like, calm down. Like, sure, you got this. And I was like, okay, I got this. And oh, just I remember actually standing on the blocks, and we were kind of waiting for everything to get settled, and before they call on your marks and before the race begins. Oh, I was just filled with nerves and excitement. I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. Yeah, and then actually running the race, you just gotta bring the pressure and bring the nerves down. Do what you got to do. So I started off well, which I was very proud of myself for, and gave the baton to Ciara Neville, who then ran an unbelievable second leg to Lauren Roy, and then to Sarah Lavin, who brought us home. And when we saw the clock and we broke that national record, it was definitely on the goal list for the year. But I've been on the team since 2022 or 2021, the relay team, and to just finally do it, I knew we could, especially with this team. And yeah, I there was a few interviews after. I shed a few tears because it meant so much. And I've never had a national record to my name, and I know some of the other girls have. And it was just I really wanted that. And I'm sure it'll be broken. There's amazing athletes coming soon. Hopefully, if I'm on the relay next year, we'll break it again, and maybe Europeans or something. But just to even have my name next to the national record, I was just. It will always be with me, and I was just so happy about that. And to do it as a team, 4x1, it's very hard to describe the feeling, but it was
Absolutely,
unbelievable.
it is. It's
Highlight of the year,
brilliant.
yeah, probably the
How
highlight of my sport athletic career so far.
absolutely 100%. It was obviously a huge, huge achievement. And when it comes to relay, obviously there's the different people. You could be from different clubs, couldn't you? Like different. How like? Because I wonder how much in advance of the race do you have time to gel together or train or what? How does that come about?
So yeah, that's a huge part of it. None of us train together. I think, well, Ciara Neville and Sarah Lavin do their training partners, but Lauren Roy is in America for the last few years, and I'm training in Dublin while the other two guys are training down in Limerick. So last year we actually, if we ran a race, we might practice on the day, and so that's really not going to make you succeed as a relay. Whereas this year, we did a good few training sessions together. We trained maybe the week before a few times, and it's all about training, gelling together, getting that baton change when it comes to the relay, because we all know we can run fast. That's easy. You get the baton, you run, like fine. It's actually the technicality of handing over the baton, trying to do it as efficiently as possible, not to waste any time, to not let one person run way more meters because they got the baton too early and all this. It's very technical, and the more we train it as a nation and as a relay team, the better we will become, and we're going to keep breaking that national record. So it is vital, and that's why a lot of other countries, they might have a lot quicker people, but they might beat everyone else because they got that relay, that baton exchange down to a T. So it does come down. It's very technical, and the more training, the better you'll be.
Comes out to like a hundredth of a second, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, 100th, 1,000, it's unbelievable. Or even a centimeter to actually pass the baton or drop it. That's another thing. If you drop it, you're gone. So the main thing is to get that baton around and then start running fast. We all know how to do that. That's secondary, really.
And like you said, when you drop the baton, you're gone. And as well at the start of a race on the blocks, I remember with the Diamond League there, that was the one on Friday night, wasn't it, on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like there was I forget who it was, but they started before they were told to go. And like you train for so long, and the next thing you go and half a second too early. How do you get like one or two goals, or are you gone straight away?
No, so in the I don't can't remember when the rules changed years ago, but no, you if you break, so you have 0.1 second reaction. If you're below 0.1 of a second, you're disqualified. And I've been disqualified many times before in my career in my individual event. So I know what that feels like, but fortunately you only have one chance, and if your reaction goes below 0.1 of a second, you get disqualified. And as I've said, I've done that before as an individual in national finals, 100 meters, 200 meters. It's devastating. You train really hard and you're ready to go, and then you go that slightly bit too early. Either your reaction, I don't know, is it some people your reaction is just that good, or if you anticipated it and you just kind of messed up a little bit. But for the relay, thankfully, I've never done it. Touch wood, I never do it. That was definitely a bit of a. You are it's a bit of a, it's extra pressure, especially in that Diamond League when we got the national record. I was on first leg, so I was on the blocks, and you really want to get a good reaction without breaking, because then you disqualify the whole team and you don't even get a chance to run. So I think on the
A lot
day,
of pressure.
oh yeah, it's massive. So I think I was the second quickest reaction on the day after Dean Asher-Smith from Great Britain. So I was delighted with that, because as I said, you don't want to anticipate it. You're probably not going to get your best reaction ever just with the fear that you get the whole team just disqualified. So that is a definitely big added pressure to sprinting, and especially with the relay.
Who would it be the other I suppose, kind of top teams, the Netherlands, USA, would they be? What's her name with the Netherlands? Is it Lieke Klaver? How
Yeah, Nikki Klaver.
she's a good
She's,
enemy, doesn't she?
oh yeah, Nikki Klaver, Femke Bol. There's numerous others in the Netherlands. They're more with the 4x400 meters, but their
Yeah.
4x1 is elite as well. And then obviously USA, they're always a huge, huge country, like, but the only like their baton changes aren't always the best. And I said that they definitely probably have the fastest people majority of the time, but that baton exchange is so technical that it's like you never know how a relay is going to go. It's always a big anticipation. But in the Diamond League, we had Jamaica in our inside lane, which is huge. Obviously Sherika Jackson, she made the 100 and 200 meter world final there 2 weeks ago, and I think she got a medal in the 200. And then we got Great Britain inside them as well, with Dean Asher-Smith, Amy Hunt, and again, these are world athletic medalists that only medaled 2 weeks ago. So there's huge teams, huge competition, and in that race, I think we came fourth, which was massive, behind like Jamaica, Great Britain, I think maybe France.
How do they judge who goes into what lane? I always wonder that.
That's a good question. For a relay, I'm not too sure. Usually with like an individual 100, the quickest go in the inside lanes. For a 200, I think it's the same. And then for a relay, I suspect it's along the same way, but I'm not fully sure. Like why Jamaica was lane 7, we were lane 8,
Yeah.
Great Britain lane 6. I'm not fully aware. I
Is
have
there
to research
any?
that myself.
Is there any lane you like to be in? Would you rather be close or out wide?
No, I think at the end of the day, we can definitely do like people think a lot into the lane draws, but it shouldn't really matter that much. You're going to
Yeah.
run the same race either way. But so when it comes to a bend, it is kind of nice to, some people like to see where they're at. So they like to chase, but nobody likes to be in the very inside lanes. So the middle lanes are the most ideal. I think if you ask anyone, they want to say the inside, like the middle lanes,
Yeah.
4 to 6.
Would you rather indoor or outdoor more? Would you kind of vary between them? Would you rather?
For me, obviously the 60 meters is probably my best event, so I love the indoors. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as well for the spectators, they probably like indoors as well. It's not raining on them, it's not cold.
I was going to say that, yeah. Is there probably sometimes there could be a better atmosphere as well inside, is there?
Yeah, that's true as well, because obviously it's enclosed, you can hear the cheering more, and there's a lot going on, and it is a smaller space, so it's more, I suppose, not to say intimate, but yeah, even the warm-up area, you probably chat to a lot more people because you're going to pass everyone. And then outdoors, again, it's great, especially like the national final and stuff is, oh, it's been packed the last 2 years. So the atmosphere up there is unbelievable as well. But in general, for me personally, I do prefer indoors at the moment because my best event would be predominantly indoors. But then outdoors has the relay, so I love the relay. So yeah, it's a tough question.
It kind of varies. Before we
Yeah.
finish up, I'd like to ask, I guess, what do you like to do, I suppose, away from athletics to kind of wind down if you've, I suppose, a day off or off work and trainings or anything you like to do, kind of to chill out or anything?
Yeah, I think, well, to be fair, since I wouldn't have too many days without work and training, so I suppose I don't want to use it doing nothing. So I do love going visiting home whenever I can, which is not too often, unfortunately, because if we train on a Saturday morning, I might not get down to Clareney till Saturday night, and sure, I have to leave Sunday then to go back up for work. But yeah, so going home, meeting family, I enjoy it. Like, as they say, when you leave, you realize how good you had it when you come back. So I love coming back to Clareney, love seeing my family, my parents, my brother, seeing my friends I don't get to see often. And if I was to stay in Dublin, me and my boyfriend, we love to kind of go around, maybe go shopping, go for walks, meet friends up here. And yeah, I've gotten into reading this year. So I'd
Brilliant.
recommend that too. Yeah. I was never a big reader, but this year I'm really trying to read more. So I'm enjoying that as well.
Any in particular kind of thing you like, true crime? Is there any one you like reading most?
I think I realize I like fantasy, like Harry Potter and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that's where I thought I'd be like a true crime or documentary, but no, I think the kind of fantasy world is where I enjoy myself most. You kind of like the escapism and a bit of magical element. So yeah.
Yes, I'd be like that, but I'd listen to an audio book. I am
Yeah.
on the go for a walk or anything. Do you have any specific, I suppose, race rituals that you like to do beforehand? Anything different?
No, I kind of like to not have, like, I suppose, a superstition, if that's the thing. But usually I think it kind of depends on the day. I don't, because you never really know how you're feeling until you actually run the race. But in general, I do the same warm up. I do, like, my meals are the exact same, so I guess that's kind of a ritual thing. But no, other than that, I don't kind of listen to any certain music or do a certain thing. I just do my warm up, chat probably too much, and yeah. That's it really.
There seems to be a good kind of a, not a bond, but with other countries after a race, you know, if you win, you go up and congratulate the mother sports, maybe you're kind of sour if you don't win. But in athletics in general, is there kind of a good, I suppose, kind of respect between all the different countries?
I think so, yeah, because as I said, you go out there and everyone's there to do their best, and no one, like, and if somebody beats you on the day, like, they just got the better of you on that day, and we all understand that. And nobody goes out there to do poorly. Nobody goes out there to beat you and rub it in your face. We all just go out there, do our best. And if somebody does well, you want to congratulate them because you're happy for them. And obviously, you're like, okay, if I want to do that, I need to go and change something, do maybe work harder, change my mindset, do maybe I didn't eat great on the day, and reevaluate. And hopefully, next time you go out, and you'll be that winner, and you hope that people are happy for you as well. You know, so I think it's a good element. And as I said, as much as it's a lonely sport, we all kind of understand what we go through. And I think there is a good community there, and you do want others to do well, and then you hope that they want the same for you.
Absolutely, it is good to appreciate you put in the same work. And last question is, you're obviously part of the new wave of Irish athletics, which is looking strong. Like you said, maybe the relay will be broken, the 60 meter you'd like to do for a third time. How important is it for the likes of, say, yourself, Sarah Lavin, Charlene, Rashida? There's so many people now that people may be looking up to that are joining athletics. How important is it to, I suppose, be maybe a role model for the new wave coming up?
Yeah, I think it's massive because, as we've seen, the like a lot of the 400 meter athletes from Ireland, they're doing absolute madness on a world stage. And when you, it is true, if you see somebody do that from your, like, country, then you're like, oh, if they can do it, why can't I do it? And it does seem a little bit more attainable than it was before. And it comes down to, like, a national level, to county level, to anything. And it's just like, especially that these role models also, they do seem very kind of humble, and they're very good at what they do. They're very polite, they're very nice. And everything. They seem to do everything correct, and they're just amazing role models to have. And I suppose if people look up to me as well in any way, especially I suppose from Kerry, I hope they think the same. And I might represent, maybe if you come into the sport a little later, that's okay. You don't need to be in the sport from when you're 5 or 10, or I'm not winning when I'm 15, so I'm not going to win when I'm 25. That's not true. Like, if you love it, you'll work hard, you'll do well, and it doesn't matter what it is. And I think that's what I'd like to promote. It doesn't matter what your kind of hobby is or your goal is in the future. Just keep going at it, and it, as I said, doesn't matter if you come in later or not. Once you love it and you're committed, you're going to do great anyway.
That's all that
So
matters.
exactly, that's all that
Vera,
matters.
thanks so much for coming on now, and I appreciate your time. I know you're busy with work and everything, so thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, Ian.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we've time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I really appreciate you tuning in as always. If you have any suggestions, questions, or requests before next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or my email address is ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. Now, before we finish up tonight, I just want to give a quick mention to the IMRO Awards in Kilkenny around this Friday night, and I just want to wish all my colleagues here on Radio Kerry the very best of luck. Just to name a few, you've JJ O'Shea with the Music Tree, Niamh Daly's up for New Moves, her music programme, Elaine Kinsella's up for Short Feature Heritage Hunters, Deirdre Walsh is up for Interactive Speech Programme Award, JJ O'Shea is up for Specialist Music Broadcaster, and the local regional sports broadcaster, the brilliant Tim Moynihan, a very well-deserved award for each of them that they're up for. So I hope they all do well on Friday night, and hopefully they bring back the gold to Radio Kerry. They all have their own brilliant shows and short features that they've done. So all the very best to them, and I hope they all get on very well on Friday night. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
You're listening to Standout with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.